Good morning. Happy Easter to all of you. We're very glad you have chosen to worship with us today on this wonderful Easter morning. We especially would like to welcome all visitors as you worship with us today. Anyone looking to join our church family, please visit with our pastor or one of our elders. We do have several announcements this morning before we begin the services. First of all, please remember to sign the registry at the end of each pew and pass it down, and to check your bulletin for announcements. The session will meet this Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Then on May 1st, our covered dish luncheon will be held at Virginia Ilsing's home at 607 Ramona. The church will provide the meat, so bring a vegetable, salad, or dessert. If you have a favorite chair, bring it, but if not, Virginia has plenty. We have a very special congratulations going out today to Harley Elliott. She was named drum major for the Lehman High School Lobo School Band for the 2011-2012 school year. Congratulations. If you would like to donate one of these beautiful lilies to the church, they will be used in our beautification project. Please see Jane to donate your lilies. That, Jane, excuse me, I'm sure you would like to hear. we are giving $78 to the Smithville Food Pantry through our sale of these lilies. We now have hearing assistance devices available. If you would like to use one, please see Hayden in the back of the church. We also need to welcome Brinley Reese Friedman to the world. Scotty has a new niece who was born
Wednesday.
So please welcome Brinley. At this time, let us stand, let us worship the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Hark, glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sorely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness,
that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank thee that thou hast answered me and hast become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us pray. Risen Christ, we have come with songs of joy and words of praise for your powerful love and life-giving grace. Like those first disciples who ran through your empty tomb, calm our hurried thoughts, that we might hear the message of your resurrection. Like the grieving Mary who searched in the garden, reveal yourself to us, that we might know your presence and heed your call. Transform our doubts into faith, that we might be a resurrection community, revealing your loving presence for all the world to see. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 288 in the green hymnal, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Thank you.
At this time, we will have our Easter proclamation. Scripture readings this morning, please join me in a prayer for illumination. We are all witnesses to all that Christ has done and is doing. We know the Easter story, how in Christ sin and death are no more. We are witnesses to all that God has promised and is fulfilling. We know the Easter story, how in Christ love and goodness triumph. We are witnesses to Christ's command to preach the good news and testify to God's love. We will answer Christ's call and proclaim the risen Christ as Mary did. We have seen the Lord. Amen. Our reading this morning from the Old Testament is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, for all peoples, the Lord of hosts is preparing a banquet of rich food, a banquet of fine wines, of succulent food, of well-strained wines. And he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, look, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in this salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn in the green hymnal is number 291, Alleluia number 1.
Thank you.
this morning I invite you to remain standing for the gospel reading. Our gospel reading, the story this morning, comes from Matthew's account of the resurrection, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, and I invite you to continue to listen for the word of the Lord. After the Sabbath, towards dawn on the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary went to visit the sepulcher. And suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His face was like lightning, his robe white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they were like dead men. But the angel spoke, and he said to the women, "There is no need for you to be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said he would. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. And listen, now he is going ahead of you to Galilee. That is where you will see him. Look, I have told you." Filled with awe and great joy, the women came quickly away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. And listen, coming to meet them was Jesus. "Rejoice," he said. The women came up to him and, falling down before him, clasping his feet, they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that they must leave for Galilee. There they will see me." Beloved of God, this is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. During this season of Lent, we have considered the crucifixion of Jesus through the eyes and the possible stories of some of the people that we know were there. The religious leaders, Jesus' disciples, the Roman soldiers, the criminals who were crucified on either side of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea and his friend Nicodemus, and a child. It's my prayer that these stories have helped you claim your own place in the great story of salvation, because what happened on that hill in Judea 2,000 years ago affected not only the people who witnessed it, but all people of all time. And we're going to continue the story in that vein this morning, asking a question that has been asked by almost everyone at one time or another: where was God? More than anything else, the accounts of Jesus' passion, particularly from Gethsemane to the crucifixion, emphasize how alone Jesus was. The crowd had turned on him. One of the 12 had betrayed him. The other 11 had deserted him. Peter had denied him. As Jesus died, Luke tells us that his friends from Galilee stood at a distance. It's John that tells us when Jesus saw his mother standing near the cross with some of her friends, he told John to take care of her, and John led her away. It's also Luke that tells us that all the multitudes who assembled to see the sight, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts as a sign of remorse. But no one mentions where God was. Matthew and Mark tell us that just before he died, Jesus cried out the universal cry of all who suffer, that opening line from Psalm 22, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some will tell you that because in that moment Jesus had taken on the sin of the entire human race, all of it, from the most petty to the grossest abominations ever imagined, because Jesus had become that, God had to turn away, had to turn his back, because God could not tolerate sin. They will tell you that when Jesus, who had known the temptations of humanity, but never known the separation of sin, when he became sin for our sakes, Jesus was rejected by God. Now, that made sense to me for a long time. Possibly for the same reason it might make sense to others. Because if you've lived very long at all, you can name a time when you wondered where God was. Wondered why God didn't seem to notice or care about your pain, your fear, your great need. Perhaps thought you didn't deserve for God to care. Not long before Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last time, his friend Martha met him on the road coming into Bethany with the words, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." Because several days earlier, she and her sister Mary had sent word to Jesus that their brother was deathly ill. They knew Jesus could heal Lazarus even as he had healed others. But Jesus didn't get there in time. And Lazarus was 4 days dead. If you'd only been here. Through the century, the question, "Where was God?" has been asked by believers and non-believers alike. You see, non-believers find the apparent absence of God in the face of evil sufficient justification for their refusal to believe. Where was God when 6 million Jews were systematically murdered? Where was God when faithful believers were put to death? Where is God when helpless children are abused? Where is God when people suffer from physical disability and illness, when people die in horrible accidents? Why has God forsaken me? Doesn't God know or care about my great need? Where is God? First of all, brothers and sisters, know this. God was there at the crucifixion. God did not abandon Jesus to sin and death, and God has not nor will not abandon you to it either. God is there in all the darkest places your soul can go. God's presence at the crucifixion is not simply due to a theological necessity expressed in the doctrine of the Trinity, which would remind us that God was there because Jesus was fully God. But Jesus was also fully human. And by his very real suffering, by his sense of abandonment, Jesus took humanity's suffering into the Godhead. And in one sense, this makes the question which must follow such a claim even more difficult. Because if God is present in those terrible times, if God suffers when we suffer, why doesn't God do something about the problem? Why doesn't God stop such things from happening? Now, some have concluded that because God doesn't stop such things from happening, either God doesn't really care or God can't do anything about it. Perhaps you've also suspected as much. Somehow they must deserve what happened to them. I wish I could give you a simple answer to that problem. I wish I could tell you there was a complicated answer to that problem. Instead, all I can tell you is that theologians have struggled with this question for centuries. Ultimately, all have to admit, we don't know. God knows, but we don't. And that is the place where we recognize once again that our walk with God is a walk of faith. As Martha and Jesus approached the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And that is not to suggest that God needs our belief in order to work. Because if God needed our belief in order to work, Jesus would still be in the grave, and his story would be nothing more than a footnote in history. Rather, it is the great good news of the gospel that God works in spite of our disbelief. The biblical authors believed that faith and doubt were actually woven closer together than we might imagine. Doubt, questions, even skepticism aren't the opposite of faith, but an essential ingredient. Because faith asks us to believe in spite of our doubts. In those times when we cannot see God at work, when we have no sense of God's presence, remember Jesus' very last words after he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" was, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." But none of Jesus' followers believed Jesus would be raised from the dead. Not a one of them. They had heard him say it, but now he was dead. And that first Easter morning, the women who went to the tomb went out to care for a dead body. They didn't bring a brunch. Thought they'd have a picnic out there. They went out to care for a dead body, to finish burying Jesus. The disciples didn't believe it when they first heard it. We always like to blame Thomas, but you read the stories, nobody believed the women. Nobody believed. But slowly, slowly, honest, logical doubt gave way. First to fear, and then to wonder and amazement, and finally, joy. When it finally did dawn on them, when they finally looked at the crucified Christ, then there was joy. Then there was worship. Remember Thomas's first words, "My Lord and my God." Jesus is alive. We have seen him, talked with him, walked with him, eaten with him. The disciples tell the stories of what happened after the resurrection. Still, early, they didn't understand that resurrection wasn't simply a claim that Jesus' body had been resuscitated. They didn't understand that what had happened was that God had entered human history and created a new reality altogether, where death was no longer the final answer. But life was. Where love proved more powerful than hatred. That was when they began to realize that God had been at work all of the time. That God's presence had never really left them. Jesus' first disciples had to grow into that new reality, had to experience it, had to hold on to it in faith when difficult times came upon them. It took time for them to say with Paul that they were convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate them from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That took a while. And we're no different. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Jesus' death and resurrection is proof of that. Because the Jesus who was crucified for our sins, who died, who was buried, is not in the grave. He has been raised just as he said he would. Now the story could end there. But it doesn't. Because that morning, the angel on the stone gave a command, go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. And when you are there, you will begin to understand better. You will see in a new way. You will believe and see the glory of God. Not all at once. Sometimes, not at all. But know that God was there at Calvary. Know that God raised Jesus from the dead. Know that God was there, that God is here, that God will be with us. So go and tell the story that God is at work in this world. Believe and tell the good news that even now, the Lord is preparing a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, the finest of wine, Isaiah tells us. Know that in that day all will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Let us stand and say what we believe using the words about the resurrection from the Second Helvetic Confession. We believe and teach that the same Jesus Christ our Lord, in his true flesh, in which he was crucified and died, rose again from the dead, and that not another flesh was raised other than the one buried, or that a spirit was taken up instead of the flesh, but that he retained his true body. Therefore, while his disciples thought they saw the Spirit of the Lord, he showed them his hands and feet, which were marked by the prints of the nails and wounds, and added, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see that I have." You may be seated. And I invite you to pray silently as I give voice to our prayers this morning. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise on this glorious celebration of the resurrection, that you did not desert us and that you will not desert us, that you give us your grace in spite of our disbelief, in spite of our indifference, in spite of all else that is around us, you love us so much that you were willing to come among us, that you were willing to take on the sin of the world and overcome it. Give us the courage to live lives of the resurrection, that we may go and be your disciples, believing, even when we don't feel it, that you are indeed God, that you are present, and that you are at work in the world and in our lives, bringing life out of death, bringing hope out of despair, turning hatred into love, teaching us humility and compassion instead of pride and arrogance. We lift up to you this day those who are ill, who are dealing with different disabilities and disease, for those who tend them and care for them. We ask for your healing. We ask for a sense of your presence in their lives. We also pray for those who serve in the military, as police, as firefighters. We do particularly lift up those people this day for whom things don't seem very encouraging. The families and the churches who have lost their homes and their buildings to fire. The farmers who struggle with drought. Those in other countries who deal with natural disasters as well as warfare. And we look around and we wring our hands and we do ask, are you paying attention? Do you care? Where are you? Remind us that you are in all of those places. You are with those who are in pain, those who suffer, those who grieve, those who mourn. We can't grasp the enormity of it, but help us to get a glimpse of the new reality that began as Jesus came forth from the tomb. Guide us and direct us this day. Keep us in your love. As we make our petitions known to you in the name of your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We come today remembering that many will come to their Easter table this day and find food for the journey. We come this day remembering that many do not know the truth of Christ's resurrection and unending love. We come today with gratitude and praise for all that we have and all that we know. We come ready to give and to share that others may eat and be satisfied, may hear and be reassured, may see and know that God's love is available to all. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings. Christ was offered in obedience to you, O God, so we offer ourselves and our gifts to be used in your service. As you took Christ's sacrifice and filled it with your life and power, So use our gifts and transform our lives, that we may be the living presence of your reign on earth, now and always. Amen.
You may be seated.